Hello and welcome to this Grace Baptist Mission Media Podcast. You're going to hear Serving Today, a program for pastors and church leaders. If you're involved in discipling others, or perhaps you teach the Bible one-to-one or in a small group, Serving Today will be relevant for a wide range of believers. Welcome to Serving Today, the program for the leaders in the Church of Christ. I'm Andrew Cook. It's good to be together again. The series on the basics of the Christian faith continues. Of all the Christian basic teaching we've considered here on Serving Today, the death and resurrection of Jesus is at the very centre. And as you consider the Bible's teaching about this, it's a bit like looking at a master painting. The more you look at it, the more detail you discover the artist has put in. Before considering this today, we need to know for certain if Jesus' death and resurrection did in fact achieve its purpose. Was it successful? Dr. John Hall is helping us again, and Derek French asked him this very question.
Well, Derek, by now in our studies of what the Bible teaches, particularly what it teaches concerning God, no one would expect the God of the Bible to fail. Before the creation of the world, he gave Christ a people. And throughout the Old Testament, as we've seen, he gave promises in increasing detail concerning the work and coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, how he would see the travail of his soul and be satisfied in Isaiah 53, which we looked at last time. So when the Lord Jesus came and died, he did exactly what he and his Father had set out to do. He died to save his people from their sins, as the angel had said to Joseph in Matthew 1 and verse 21. So his death achieved the salvation of all his people. Remember how Jesus had said that I shall lose none of all that he has given me in John 6:39. And he says it again in John 17 and verse 24 in a different way when he prays. He says, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and see my glory. And so his death enables millions of sinners to do just that, to be with Christ in heaven and to see his glory. This death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ achieves their salvation. It's fully effective. It's sufficient for all their sin and rebellion. And we also know that he was successful in his death, in that death couldn't hold him. He rose from the dead. But in order to understand the gloriously effective and complete nature of his death for sinners, we need to break it down and look at the biblical words which describe it so that we can understand it in all its richness and power and glory and put our trust in this Saviour.
So where do we need to begin then, John?
Well, Derek, we're going to begin with a rather complicated word, propitiation, or sacrifice of atonement. Paul writes in Romans 3 in verse 25, God presented him as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in his blood, or as it says in the Authorized Version, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood.
Now, those terms are perhaps quite unfamiliar to some, propitiation and sacrifice of atonement. Exactly what do those words mean, John?
This means that Christ, through his death, bears in his body the just anger of God against sin. And in bearing that anger in his own body on the tree, he turns that anger away from those he dies for. He makes an offering of himself to propitiate God, to deal with the just anger of God against sin. Now that might sound complicated, so let me give you a simple human illustration. It's a rather trivial one, but it shows the principle. Two little boys had been naughty, and the mother of one of them had been justly angry with them, and they felt the smart of that, the difficulty of that. And the little boy who was the visitor had been sent with a box of chocolates for his friend's mother. In the excitement of meeting his friend and being naughty, he'd forgotten all about it. But now his friend's mother was angry, and he thought of the chocolates. He rushed to get them. He went up behind her with the box of chocolates and gave a nervous cough. And he made an offering of them to try and turn her anger away from them. She was amused. And he said to his friend, just remembered that in time. because it made the situation easier. So an offering was made to deal with the anger, turning it away. So in a much, much more serious way, Jesus on the cross offered himself to God, bore God's anger on behalf of sinners, turning it away from them. The word is also used in the following verses, where it's translated sacrifice of atonement. And Derek's going to read now two verses to us from 1 John 2 and verse 2 and from 1 John 4 and verse 10.
He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. And then later in chapter 4 and verse 10 of that same book, John writes, "This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins." Marvellous words, aren't they?
They are indeed, and it demonstrated God's love for sinners. No other sacrifice can take away anybody's sins anywhere in the world. If you're going to be saved anywhere in the world, any person, any race, then it must be through this death of the Lord Jesus Christ.
John, you said there were a number of things that the death of Jesus accomplished. We've seen the first one, the sacrifice of atonement, propitiation. What else did his death accomplish?
The next idea is one of a substitutionary sacrifice.
What do you mean by that?
It simply means that he died in the place of others. And an illustration that we're all familiar with, anybody who follows sporting events are familiar with the idea of substitution. One player is taken off and another goes on to play in their place. So the sinner was taken out of the punishment and his sins were laid on Jesus because Jesus stood in his place. He died for them.
John, could you actually point out some biblical verses where this is brought out for us?
Yes. Let's turn to Leviticus chapter 1 to see the Old Testament basis for the idea of substitution. I'm going to read from verse 3. If the offering is a burnt offering from the herd, he is to be a male without defect. He must present it at the entrance to the tent of meeting so that it will be acceptable to the Lord. He is to lay his hand on the head of the burnt offering, and it will be accepted on his behalf to make atonement for him. And so the picture here is very vivid. The animal is taken, it's to be without defect. It's taken to the place where God had said it had to be sacrificed, killed. Before it's killed, the person's hand is placed on it for him to identify with the animal. And then the animal is slaughtered and the blood is sprinkled before the Lord to make atonement, to take away the difficulty that sin had caused between the sinner and a holy God. And so this picture there symbolized in Old Testament times what Christ would do in reality, because the Lord Jesus is the Lamb without defect, and the sinner identifies with Christ, puts his hand on Christ by faith. Faith is the hand that lays hold of the benefit. It also says in the Old Testament in Isaiah 53 and verse 6, Derek's going to read that to us.
Yes, it's an amazing verse, isn't it? Mm. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. So accurate there, isn't it? Each of us has turned to his own way. I find this astonishing. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all.
We're all sinners. And the sin of his people was laid on Christ. The sin of us all our sin and all God's people. That's what it means by substitution. He died in the sinner's place. He died for them.
John, that's some Old Testament passages. What does the New Testament have to say about this substitutionary nature of Christ's death?
We've already hinted at that. One of the texts is when John the Baptist saw Jesus and said in John 1:29, "The next day John saw Jesus coming towards him and said, 'Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world.'" Jesus was that Lamb without defect to die, to take away the sins of the world. And then the Apostle Peter wrote, and Derek's going to read this to us in 1 Peter 2 and verse 24.
He himself bore our sin in his body on the tree, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds we are healed.
This is a glorious text. Jesus, physically, in his body, on the tree, on the cross, bore our sins, took them away, paid the penalty for them. That clearly there is stating a substitutionary death, Jesus dying in the place of sinners.
John, really as an aside at this point, but there's a phrase in that verse from 1 Peter 2, by his wounds we are healed. Now, can I ask, does that mean every illness we have? Because surely there are illnesses that many do not get healed from, and in fact can even result in death. How are we to understand that phrase?
Now that's an interesting question, Derek, and it illustrates the principle of needing to turn back to the scriptures and to look at them in their context. And so turn back to Isaiah 53 and you'll find the phrase in verse 5. I'm going to read the whole verse. Now you need to remember that it's Hebrew poetry. Now, in English, our poetry often rhymes. In Hebrew, their poetry had a structure where they repeated a phrase, developing the phrase. So the verse 5 reads, but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. You see the repetition there developing the theme. Pierced for transgression, crushed for iniquities. Then he goes on, the punishment that brought us peace was laid upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. And then the next verse, we all like sheep have gone astray, each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. So we see the whole context, as in 1 Peter, is dealing with sin and how our sins are dealt with before God. It's not dealing at all with physical healing or suffering. But just ponder this, and this is a lovely thought. As you consider the effects of Christ's death, our sin is dealt with. Its guilt is taken away. Its condemnation. Its curse. We're forgiven, and we're given eternal life. Mm-hmm. And the final conclusion of our salvation is that together with Christ, we will live in a new heaven and a new earth where there is no sin or sickness or death. So it's not by his wounds you are healed, referring in this life to our physical ailments. It's dealing with our sin. But it also points on to the next life when we shall be gloriously liberated from all the effects of our sin, including illness. And that's really lovely. So we have seen Christ's death was substitutionary. It says in Hebrews 9:28, so Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many people.
Well, that's the end of our time together here on Serving Today. This is Andrew Cook saying goodbye, and may God be with you. Well, we hope you enjoyed listening to Serving Today, a podcast from the Grace Baptist Mission radio team. There are a number of ways to get in touch. Our email address is servingtoday@gbm.org.uk. Find us on Twitter at servingtodaygbm, or you can search our web catalogue at www.gbm.org.uk/radio. Thanks for listening and goodbye.